Good morning, everybody out there in the world, including in the UK. This is Tom Harris from beautiful Chicago, Illinois, and everything is ready for the show today except for me. It has been one of those weeks, folks. It's been really kind of a hellish week. And for way too many reasons to even mention on the show. But things have just been crazy. And it hasn't helped that I felt very under the weather for most of the week this week. Am I going out? Yeah, okay. It does look as though I'm going out live. So excellent for that. I had a very troubling encounter on Tuesday with a Himalayan lunch. And I have not really been feeling very well most of the week, stomach related, and just not very pleasant and icky. And I think things are more or less back to normal now. I'm still kind of feeling it, but it's not too bad. So anyway, here we are. That was just way too much information, wasn't it? Anyway, welcome to the program. It is a beautiful sunny day here in Chicago. I don't think it's very warm out. I haven't been outside. Haven't done anything. Today was just kind of one of those roll out of bed and roll up to the microphone kind of days because I've been doing a lot of sleeping this week. I've been kind of, I didn't go to work on Wednesday. And then on Tuesday, I was not well. Wednesday was not feeling all that well. Thursday, I went to work, but then I went to bed almost as soon as I got home from work. And then yesterday, I went to bed early as well. So it has been a lot of sleeping. And this morning, I just kind of rolled out of bed, had everything ready to go, except for me. I'm still the one who's not ready to go. Anyway, we've had, excuse me. I just had to have a little bit of a cough there. Sorry about that. And that's because I didn't do my vocal warm-ups this morning or anything. It's just been really, really bad. Been very, very naughty, boys and girls. As Chris would say. So I do have a little bit of something to wet my whistle here. No, it's not alcoholic. You can forget about that. I haven't had any alcohol for the last week. Obviously, when I'm not feeling well, I'm not about to do that. So today is going to be another travel show. But I do have a couple of things that I want to talk about first before I start talking about the travel stuff. Because there are a couple of things that happened this week that I think are worth mentioning. But the first thing I want to do is I want to talk about an email. I got an email this week. In fact, I got it on Sunday. May have even been sent Saturday, the same day as the show. And I don't want the person who sent the email to think that I'm ignoring this issue. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read this email. We're going to talk about it next week. But here's the email, and this comes from Phil. And by the way, Phil, welcome, because I noticed that you were writing to Chris's show as well. And it seems as though you're checking out all of United Kingdom Radio's shows. And Phil sent me a message regarding my last show. Now, if you recall, my last show was maybe said some things that were a little bit controversial, which is not all that unusual. I wouldn't even say controversial as far as I'm concerned. But here's what Phil had to say. Hi, Tom. I was listening to your show the other day, and I was offended by your references to God being the culturally accepted imaginary friend in today's society. Whilst I completely respect your choice to lack religion, as I have, I think it's unfair to defame other religions, such as Christianity, simply because you don't believe in them. Please try to be more sensitive of this in future, as you are broadcasting live to many conservative listeners around the world who share many different religious worldviews. And the signed, Phil. Well, first of all, thanks very much, Phil, for caring enough to write, because I know a lot of people wouldn't care enough to write. Now, I have a couple of things to say on this, and like I said, we're going to go more in-depth in this topic next week, because I actually have another comment here, which is an audio comment from my good friend Scott Mitchell. And Scott has quite a lot to say. And I think that it would be more conducive to a longer show segment than I can give it this week. But I will say that, you know, here at United Kingdom Radio, we are a kind of a collection of individuals. We don't have an overriding editorial philosophy here of things we're not allowed to talk about, things we are allowed to talk about. We do have our own hosts with our own personalities, with our own viewpoints on the world. And that's one of the things I think that's very good about United Kingdom Radio is that, you know, you have people like Chris who come from their own unique point of view, or Stacy who comes from his unique point of view, which is very much more a conservative point of view than my own. Or you have Suco in Long Island, who, you know, is more the Long Island liberal sort of point of view. And me, who's somewhere kind of politically in the middle, but definitely not a theist. And I would hope that when people hear me say stuff like this, and that's probably one of the most bellicose things that I've said on the show. And I probably wouldn't have said it if Stephen hadn't said it that way first. Not that I'm blaming Stephen or anything. But I would ask this from people who are listening to my show. Before you get offended, or maybe after you're done being offended, because I know that these things are kind of hard to turn off. But after you're done being offended, maybe you should think about it. And think about the points that are being made, because it's easy to overlook this while you're being offended. Is there a kernel of truth to what I'm saying? And sometimes I'll say stuff on my show to get people to think about things, not even necessarily something that I believe. So, and though in this case, I certainly do believe it. I'm not going to distance myself from this notion. But one of the things that I've always talked about on my show, and one of the things that I've always brought to the table right up front and just put it on the table right in front of you on my shows, and you might not know this because it seems like you might be new, is that my job is to make people think. Not necessarily to offend people, because that's not really what I'm about. If you listen back to my shows, you're not going to hear a lot that's offensive, I guarantee you. Because I'm not the sort of person who gets up in your face and shouts things. You know, that's not me. Well, occasionally it's me, but it's not usually me. So I definitely would say, stay tuned next week. We're going to talk about this more, but because I wanted to talk about some other things this week. Suko is going, yay, God. Hello, Suko. It's lovely to see you online. You know, normally Suko's daughter has dance practice on Saturday, and she's not able to listen. But it looks like the time has changed. So, hello, Suko. Very good to see you. And if you have any thoughts on Edinburgh a little bit later in the show, please feel free to call in. I just wanted to point that I wanted to bring this up because I don't want it to seem as though I'm avoiding this issue. But like I said, I have an audio comment from Scott, and Scott has this tendency, and you know, we love Scott, but he loves to ramble. So I need to edit it for time, and you know, while keeping his argument intact, he goes off on tangents and talks about things that have absolutely nothing to do with the topic at hand. And so I do need to edit it a little bit. So we'll get to that next week, and we'll talk about this. And hopefully, Phil, you feel free to call in and talk about this stuff, because I love to talk about this stuff. One of the things that, you know, I want to make people think, but I also want the dialogue. I like to hear from other people. If it's just me babbling to myself, nobody cares, really, because who am I, you know? So anyway, I do wanted to again say welcome, Phil. You're going to find a variety of shows on United Kingdom Radio, and as you would all over the internet. And not everybody has the same point of view. And I don't think they should have the same point of view. And I don't think that people should shy away from giving their opinion in fear of offending a certain segment of the population. And that's just sort of my thought on that. Anyway, if you have different thoughts, feel free to email me again. And of course, the email address, if you want to contact me, if you can't call in live, is tom@unitedkingdomradio.co.uk. Or you can use my regular email address, which it actually all goes to the same place, folks, is tom@tomharrisusa.com. And we can continue on from there. Suko says, hi. All right. So we're going to talk a little bit about Edinburgh today. And Edinburgh is known for being on the site of a volcano. Well, there's other volcano news today. You know, I have a sound effect. Volcano news! Oh, we have a phone call coming in. Hello on the phone.
Hello, it's Ross.
Hello, Ross. How are you, sir?
I'm not too bad. This email from Phil, is it?
Yeah.
What's he on then? Because if that's your belief, right, what you were talking about last night, if that's your belief and that's your point of view, why are you then not allowed to say your point of view over the radio?
We are allowed to say our point of view over the radio, and that is precisely my point. But you know, we're going to talk about this next week, and we'll get to that, and we'll have a kind of a more in-depth discussion about that next week.
I don't get it. If that's your point of view, maybe he could have rung you up and said his point of view rather than just complaining. I don't believe in God either.
Right.
But you know, everyone is different, you know, and sometimes everyone's got to get their point across, and if the other person wants to reply, then reply. But he's not saying his view on the situation or the topic. He's just complaining, and I think complain, but then have your point as well.
Right, and I agree with you, Ross. Now, Wayne is saying, Tom, Christians walk by faith and not by sight. I found your comment interesting, and it did make me think. You know, so there are other people out there who got something different from that than Phil. But you know, one of the reasons why I mentioned it is because, you know, Phil is a new listener. And, you know, he is new to United Kingdom Radio, and he might think, oh, no, this is this horrible station where everybody, you know, disses God or whatever, you know, and it's just me that's doing it. it's not.
Yeah, exactly. This is a new station. So yeah, he's welcome, obviously, as a new listener. Yeah. But then he's now got to realize that you can say what you want to say, yeah. You know? Why just complain? I don't get it. Why would someone just complain but not to have their point of view as well?
Well, I don't know, Ross, if Phil is complaining more than he's just telling me that he's telling me that he was offended by it.
Okay, well, then listen to something else.
Yeah.
If you don't like it, listen to something else.
We want,
or
we
ring in and have a discussion, because that's what a talk show is all about. Sometimes I don't understand why some people sit there and they'll write. When you're live, you're sitting there now live, you can take phone calls, mm-hmm. and they don't ring in and do a discussion. They just sit there, you know, and sit behind an email address. I don't really get it. Why not ring in? Maybe if he's listening live, maybe he could call in and
have
to have a discussion.
And we want that. We want Phil to call in. But like I said, Ross, we're going to talk about that next week.
Well, I'm not here next week, so I'm just saying it this week.
Okay. Well, what I'll do is I'll replay your bit next week when we're talking about the discussion.
All right. Have a good show, mate.
Thanks, Ross, for calling. Cheers. And that was Ross Patzelt from Norwich. And it's asking me to rate that call. What would you say the quality of the call? Well, it sounded like he was calling on one of those little walkie-talkies that you play with when you're 10. So I'd say fair was the quality of that call. Okay. I'm not used to that little thing popping up there. Anyway, and thank you, Wayne, for your input as well. No, absolutely. You know, as Ross was saying, I want the people to interact with. I want people to join in the conversation. And Phil, you are more than welcome. You're always welcome here. You know, I'm not the sort of atheist monster who is hostile to all religious people or anything like that. You know, Stacy White's a good friend, and you know, I don't think you can get any more theist than Stacy White. Joe Morris from American Talk USA, though we haven't heard from him for a long time. You know, as somebody who, you know, his show was very religious, well, almost all the time. And still, you know, he and I were good mates. So, you know, it's just all a matter of individual difference and all that. So anyway, like I said, I don't want to get off the subject. And we'll continue on with this discussion next week. But I didn't want it to seem as though I was avoiding the topic. And indeed, I'm not, because I do want to have that discussion, because I love having this discussion with people and sharing ideas, because that's what the show is about, is making people think and sharing ideas. So anyway, back to what I was talking about before. Was talking about volcanoes, because we had some interesting volcano news this week, or as I said, volcano news. So this is also kind of a travel-related topic as well, because a few years ago, and I'm going to say 2002, I was down in the southern island of Japan. I was down in a place called Kirishima. And there's a walk in Kirishima. It's kind of a, well, it's more than just a walk because you're walking up and down over mountains. So I guess that would, I guess if you're going to call that a trek or a hike, it would probably be more accurate. It's called the Kirishima Traverse. And it starts in this little place called Ebino Kogen, which is sort of this plateau. And there's a lot of hot springs there. There's a lot of beautiful, beautiful mountain sceneries. Now, all of these mountains that you see all around you are volcanoes. And you climb up the trail at Ebino Kogen. And you have your steepest hike right at the very start. You hike for 90 minutes, almost, not straight uphill, but it's uphill almost the entire way, to the top of this mountain called Karakune Dake. And then you kind of descend slowly over this traverse. You're kind of doing a ridge walk up and down, but more down than up. It's not difficult. Except for where the trail had washed out, and I will talk about this again when I talk about Japan, because when I start doing travel stuff on Japan, you're going to find that it's going to be stretched out over a bunch of episodes because I have a lot to say about Japan. But the one of the mountains that you cross is called Shinmoi Dake. Well, Shinmoi Dake erupted last week. It's a mountain that's sort of right in the middle of this Kirishima Traverse. And it was this huge bowl caldera, huge caldera. It was actually used in a James Bond movie, You Only Live Twice. I believe that was one of the Sean Connery ones. And in the movie, the evil Bond villain had hidden his missile base in the caldera of this volcano. And it was this kind of ugly lake at the bottom. But you could see along the sides of the caldera, the steam vents, and you could smell the sulfur. And it was one of the, obviously these are active volcanoes and you can't climb down into them. But one of the, it erupted last week. It erupted, I guess it started to erupt on January 31st. And has been kind of spewing ash and lava ever since then. And of course, the Japanese are very nonplussed about this. I mean, this happens all the time. Apparently, Shinmoi Dake had been quiet for a long time, but had erupted again in it had last erupted like in the 90s, in like 1995 or something. And then it erupted again in 2008, and then again had a small eruption in 2009. And this year, they're saying it could be a big one. It could actually be the sort of lava spewing explosive type of eruption, as opposed to just poofing ash, which is what a lot of these volcanoes do from time to time. So it could be. It's interesting, having actually been to the side of this volcano and looked down into that caldera and realized that I couldn't be standing there now. It would just be way too dangerous. The poison gases and stuff. But that is one of the things. It's just kind of one of those neat things that happened this week. And I didn't realize before the eruption that this mountain had been used in the James Bond film. Because what that means is that I actually have been to two of the James Bond villain's secret lairs, and I, without even trying, Shinmoi Dake, which honestly, there's nothing around there. There's a town, several miles away, but it's really kind of in the middle of the wilderness. It's kind of this, in this string of mountains, and there's hiking trails and stuff through there, but not really a lot of people. And the other evil Bond lair that I've been to is actually the lodge at the top of the Schilthorn in Switzerland. So it's kind of neat. So I've been to two evil Bond. Maybe I'm a Bond villain. Maybe I should be the villain in a James Bond movie. Wayne is saying, sounded fine to me, Tom. By the way, that tune is the Snowpocalypse tune and not the volcano one. You have licensing. Actually, Wayne, it's neither. So you mean the tune from Snowpocalypse 2011? We do like that. Sorry, I'm just taking another drink. I might actually have to go refill this in a minute because I'm just going through this stuff like crazy. I've been trying to get off caffeine and, you know, drink as little alcohol as possible, get it, drink less caffeine than I normally drink. And so I have got this cup of kind of, it's watered down Sprite with a little bit of strawberry Kool-Aid in it. It's just enough to keep me hydrated, you know. And I just keep drinking more and more and more of it. So, yeah, just terrible. Just terrible. So I'm going to go ahead and move on before we go on to talking about Edinburgh, because this show is going very, very quickly, folks. It really is. I'm going to go and talk about Today in History. As you know, I go over the history of the day of the day I'm brought. That wasn't a very good explanation, was it? Today in History, February 12th. In 1502, Grenadian Muslims were forced to convert to Catholicism or be killed. Forced conversion. Where have we heard that before? In 1709, Alexander Selkirk, a Scottish sailor, was rescued after 4.5 years on Fernandez Island. He was the inspiration for Daniel Defoe's Robinson Crusoe. In 1733, the territory of Georgia, that is the what became the United State of Georgia, was founded by James Oglethorpe at the site of Savannah. In 1793, the first United States Fugitive Slave Law was passed, requiring the return of escaped slaves to their owners. In 1818, Chile gained its independence from Spain. Happy Independence Day, Chile. In 1874, the first king who visited the United States visited the U.S. Who do you think it was in 1874? It was King David Kalakaua of Hawaii was the first king to visit the United States. In 1909, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, or the NAACP, was formed. In 1912... the last Manchu Emperor of China abdicated. That was, of course, Henry Puyi. If you saw the film The Last Emperor, that's kind of all about him. In 1915, the cornerstone was laid for the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C. Beautiful building, that. Just absolutely gorgeous. 1924, the first presidential radio speech was given. President Calvin Coolidge made that in 1924. 1938, the Anschluss started as German troops entered Austria. 1955, the Soviet Union decided to build their space center in Baikonur in Kazakhstan, where I guess it still exists. The Star City is what it's called. The kind of the Soviet or Russian answer to Cape Canaveral. 1991, Iceland recognized the independence of Lithuania from the Soviet Union. In 1994, Edvard Munch's painting The Scream was stolen in Oslo. I bet it screamed loud. And it believed that it was returned not a short time later. I think it had been gone for quite some time before they recovered it. All right, moving on to famous birthdays. February 12th, we have in 1567, English composer, poet, and physician Thomas Campion. In 1588, John Winthrop, the first governor of Massachusetts, was born. In 1663, another famous person from Massachusetts, Cotton Mather, who loved to hang witches. In 1809, we have a doubleheader here, two of the greatest people who ever lived. Abraham Lincoln, 16th president of the United States, was born in Kentucky on February 12th, 1809. And Charles Darwin, the first person to describe evolution, Charles Darwin, who wrote The Origin of the Species, was also born in Shrewsbury, England in 1809. In 1893, Omar Bradley, American general of World War II. 1915, actor Lorne Greene, famous from Bonanza and the first iteration of Battlestar Galactica, was born. Also did a lot of commercials for Alpo dog food. In 1926, sportscaster Joe Gargiola. I don't think that most people outside of the United States would have any idea of who Joe Gargiola is. 1930, Arlen Specter, Republican senator from Pennsylvania. Actually, he switched parties, didn't he, right before he got voted out. Was born, was first elected to the Senate in 1981, and I believe he just got voted out. 1935, rocker Ray Manzarek of The Doors was born. 1950, Steve Hackett of Genesis, guitarist from Genesis, was born in 1950. 1955, lame talk show host Arsenio Hall was born. 1968, China Phillips of the from Wilson Phillips. I think she was one of the daughters of the guy from the Mamas and the Papas, I think. Pretty sure that was true. 1968, Josh Brolin was born, the actor. And in 1980, actress Christine Ricci was born, known as Wednesday from the Addams Family movie, first Addams Family movie. And that is Today in History, February 12th. All right. So I'm going to go ahead and play a couple of trails for you here. And when we come back, I will start to talk about Edinburgh. So don't go away, folks.
United Kingdom Radio have teamed up with a brand new online internet radio music service called You Love It, We Play It, aimed at the over 25s and featuring some presenters that present right here on United Kingdom Radio. So if you've had enough of all that rabbit... Thank you, Chaz and Dave. Then try our brand new music service at www.youloveitweplayit.com.
Hello, Chris Reardon here. I hope you enjoy our shows here at United Kingdom Radio. A bit of fundraising now for the station. If you fancy a bit of music in your life, then why not try one of my weekly non-stop music mixes? All music, no talking. You can get a new one each week and download them from www.chrisreardonshow.co.uk. For just 80 pence UK, that's about $1.30 US, they are over 75 minutes long and contain some of the brand new club tunes around at the moment in the UK. Download them now from www.chrisreardonshow.co.uk. My weekly mixes, just 80 pence. www.chrisreardonshow.co.uk.
And we are back. Hello, everybody. And as the second half of the show, I'm going to talk a bit about Edinburgh. Talk about a change in gears. I've been wondering all week how to do this transition, knowing that we're going into the topics we're going into and then going right into a travel segment. We do love our travel segments, though. And I do really appreciate, incidentally, the feedback. I don't get a lot of feedback on the show, and I think that's one of the I think, I wouldn't say a frustration, but one of the things that kind of about doing shows, that you don't get a lot of feedback. And but I have got enough feedback on these travel segments to know that a lot of people enjoy them. So I, you know, as long as people keep you know, commenting, I'll be more than happy to keep doing them. And today we're going to talk a little bit about Edinburgh. Now, a couple weeks ago, I had that message from, who was it from? I'm not even remembering who it was from. Oh, it was from James Bates. He sent me an email saying that, you know, when was I going to talk about England, or asking if I'd ever talked about England. And I have talked about England on my podcast, but not so much on this show. And so I thought, oh, well, you know, Edinburgh is right kind of in the segment here, you know, right in the range of alphabet that I'm talking about now. So we'll talk about Edinburgh, because Edinburgh is a beautiful city. It's a place I've been to several times, actually, because, you know, the first time I went to Scotland was in 1996. And it was my very first time in Scotland. Of course, you know, you think the first thing is, well, I better start in a city. When you go to a new country for the first time, before you go to explore the hinterlands, you kind of want to start out with a major metropolitan center where you have more or less the comforts of home, kind of get acclimated to whatever culture shock you're going to have. In this case, you know, pretty much none at all. I'd been in the UK for a while at that point. And sorry, I'm just getting distracted here by getting distracted by the Skype. Sorry about that. Suko, I'll send you that trail after the show. In Edinburgh, you know, it sort of was my first landing point, you know, because you can get a train out of King's Cross Station. I think at the time, you know, I could be wrong about this, but it seemed to me that it was actually out of St. Pancras Station the first time I took this trip. And I could be wrong about that, but it seems as though they've changed the station over the years of where you get the train to go to Edinburgh. Anyway, I took a train from London and made my way up to Edinburgh. It's a kind of a 6 hour or so train ride. And you kind of notice as you go, you know, it's a beautiful train ride and definitely not one that I would poo-poo. You know, it's not the most exciting scenery during a lot of this route, but it's certainly not one that you would want to sleep through necessarily, because you end up passing through along the train line a lot of you know, pretty well-known towns. See some lovely English countryside. Of course, yeah, there's only so much lovely English countryside you can take in one sitting, and I totally am cognizant of that. But you kind of pull into into some of the stations along the way, and you notice the scenery starting to change a little bit, and you start noticing a definite change in the way the buildings look and the way the land looks and the way the farms look, you know, and you notice this sort of very gradual change as you move northward. It's noticeable. And I suppose a lot of people don't notice it. I suppose a lot of people don't really take notice of things like that. But that's one of the things I love about traveling by train, you know, because if you're driving, you have to spend a lot of time kind of paying attention to where you're driving, you know, not getting into wrecks and stuff. But when you're on the train, you can take notice of things like the shape of barns changing, you know, and it does interest me, and I love train travel. And I've often thought, you know, I would love to be able to get in a car and have kind of free rein around the British Isles to kind of go wherever I want, you know, whether the train went there or not. On the other hand, I really love the freedom of taking the train, because you don't have to worry about the driving part. And you don't have to worry about stopping for gas, and you don't have to worry about, you know, there's a lot of things you don't have to worry about. And as you pass through the Newcastle area, you know, up in that area, you really start to notice the difference in the landforms and all that. And before you know it, you're in Scotland. And it is noticeably Scotland. It stops looking like England, and you are definitely in Scotland. And you pull in to the first big station you run into is Waverley Station in Edinburgh. And, you know, which is sort of an ordinary 19th century Victorian dirty, you know, not very nice train station. And it kind of drops you off right kind of in the middle of town. Now Edinburgh is an interesting kind of place. Like I said, Edinburgh is built on an extinct volcanic ridge. And you have the volcanic ridge that runs up what is called now the Royal Mile. And at the very top of this volcanic caldera, which is, there's no volcano anymore. It's all, you know, blocked up and, you know, it's not going to ever erupt again. You have Edinburgh Castle sitting right up at the very, very top of where the top of the volcano used to be. And you have a valley kind of in between that part and the rest of Edinburgh. Now, there's two sections of Edinburgh, and you have kind of the old town and the new town. And the old town of Edinburgh is sort of the area of the Royal Mile. And what they mean by the Royal Mile, because I know that there's probably people listening who've never been to Edinburgh before. On top of this volcanic ridge, you have Edinburgh Castle. That takes up the highest point. Obviously, they built the castles at the highest point for fortification purposes. And there's a road that leads out from Edinburgh Castle and goes straight down the ridge. This is almost straight, perfectly, almost perfectly straight line right down this volcanic ridge for a little bit over a mile. And you end up at another castle. Now, the other castle is called Holyrood House, and it is actually the official residence of the Queen if she is in Edinburgh. And it, as palaces go, it's not a very big palace, but it is a more modern home. It says, you know, people actually live there. I don't think anyone actually lives in Edinburgh Castle. And the and in between you have this mile of shops and museums and pubs and hostels and what have you, tourist attractions, and that's called the Royal Mile. So let's just get that out of the way. Now, the other half of Edinburgh's part that I haven't spent as much time in, to be honest. I have spent some time there. I've never stayed there because all of the accommodation options that I was able to find that I thought were worth the money were actually up in the Royal Mile, and probably for a reason, is because that is where most of the tourists hang out. So the last time, and I've been now there several times, and you have the Royal Mile and the volcanic ridge, and then you have sort of a little valley, and in that valley you have, it's a park. It's a beautiful little park, incidentally, with walking trails and used to be a lake apparently a long time ago. But it had gardens and trails and so forth. And on the opposite side of that, you have Princes Street. Now, Princes Street is the main shopping street in downtown Edinburgh. That's sort of where you have your HMV store, or they used to have the Virgin Mega store there, and you have your Burger King there, and you have, you know, that's where all the big stores are. And to me, that part of Edinburgh, it's fine. It's your sort of shopping area. But to me, it's not as interesting. Now, one of the things I'm trying to go in kind of a methodical, methodical way and talk about Edinburgh. And I'm failing miserably, folks. I'm failing miserably. Asuko is saying, thanks, Tom. Sorry I made you lose your train of thought. Oh, ha ha. Love that pun. I agree about train travel. The most interesting train ride for me was traveling between, I'm going to mangle this, Guangzhou in mainland China to Hong Kong before it went back to Chinese rule. That sounds lovely, actually. Bus travel can be interesting, too. I also love to watch people, so using mass transit is always interesting to me. I focus on faces and think about their background. Yeah, I kind of agree with you. Bob I Don't Know is saying... I think that's actually... Oh, here we go. You can tell when you're going through the northeast of England by the amount of cooling towers you see and the lack of sunlight due to the chemicals. I think the chemicals are the ones you're drinking, Bob. Okay, I need to get back on track because I only have 20 minutes left of the show. So let's say farewell to Princes Street, because honestly, you know, it's the main shopping street in Edinburgh. There are a few things to see in that area, though. You have the park, of course, which is lovely during the summer. I haven't really seen it during any other time of year. And then you have the National Gallery, which is right along this kind of, it's right along the park. And you have the Walter Scott I think it's Walter Scott. I want to say George C. Scott. And I know it's the guy who wrote, Treasure, whatever he wrote. I don't. He's only the greatest literary hero of Scotland, and I'm blanking on his name, Sir Walter Scott. You have the Scott Memorial. Now, the Scott Memorial is kind of interesting because it's this big, sort of Victorian Gothic lump. And it just kind of sits on the corner there, and you can go inside it. I think it costs a couple of pounds to go inside it. I'm not sure what the cost is because I've never done it. And I guess inside you can see, you know, mosaics and, you know, paintings and stuff. But I never bothered going inside. But you get kind of you get up in the air, and I'm sure back in the 19th century that was a huge tourist attraction. But I couldn't speak much for it now. To me, kind of the more interesting parts of the new city are, The area, there's some really nice restaurants, incidentally, over on that the new city side of Edinburgh. You have the Blue Moon Cafe. Now, for those be forewarned, it is a gay cafe. It's kind of the only gay restaurant that I've ever been into, other than like a gay coffee shop. This is an actual proper little restaurant, and it's called the Blue Moon. And I think it's in the I think it's pronounced Bruffton area. And really quite liked it. I think they I couldn't even hazard a thought as to what they're serving now. But at the time, they were doing a lot of like sandwiches and salads. And it was a sort of light lunch fare. And if you are into the gay scene of Edinburgh is over in that area. And I believe the area is pronounced Bruffton or Broughton. Not really sure how that's pronounced. Now, also on that side of the valley, there's a couple interesting parts of Edinburgh that a lot of people overlook. And one of these things is called Calton Hill, and I'll just talk about it very briefly. Calton Hill is another extinct volcano. It rises on the opposite side of this little valley. And you'll see that it's kind of fringed around by this old cemetery, this old Victorian-era cemetery. And I happen to really like cemeteries. You know, once a goth, always a goth, I guess. And you kind of climb up through or walk up the road, kind of zigzags up this hill. And at the top, you have this beautiful, huge amphitheater. Don't know if they, I think they probably do concerts and stuff there when the weather's better. I saw people up there flying kites, and it's a big kind of grassy amphitheater area. And up there is an old abandoned observatory. And I think it's kind of one of the gems of Edinburgh that I think a lot of people who go there as tourists miss. But it's a very relaxing place to hang out. And, you know, going to go up there and walk around. You feel like you're almost in nature. And definitely if you're like this, the views that you get, it's definitely worth going up there. Anyway, I don't want to spend too much time on that. So after kind of on that side of the valley, kind of go back over to the Royal Mile here. Now, the Royal Mile, of course, is where all the major sites of Edinburgh are. Of course, Edinburgh Castle is a must-see. Especially if you've never been to Edinburgh before, you want to go see Edinburgh Castle. For the first reason, it's the most historical thing in Edinburgh. It's not expensive to go into. I don't remember if it costs anything to go into, to be honest. I seem to remember wandering around the grounds for free, and then there was, if you wanted to see certain exhibits, you had to pay. But it is a National Trust property, so I'm not really sure. And of course, your mileage may vary. Things may have changed since I was there last. And I've been to Edinburgh Castle a couple of times, and I just don't get tired of it. It really is a very, very well preserved castle. And so it's definitely worth a sight. Now, I don't necessarily recommend the big thing that takes place in the castle courtyard is the Edinburgh Military Tattoo. And this is a huge tourist attraction. Folks, don't waste your money. Unless you really love pipes and drums, I don't really think it's worth it. A lot of people are, when they go to Scotland for the first time, they go to Edinburgh and they see this thing. It's like, oh, well, that's like quintessentially Scottish. And, and maybe that's their fondest memory of the trip. But I tend to avoid what I would call ostentatious displays of Scottishness, because that's not really what Scotland is. So I avoid, the shortbread tins and wrapped in tartan. I avoid anything with a picture of Robert Burns on it, And there's a lot of that in Edinburgh. So look past the tourist kitsch, and you can find some really, really interesting stuff. For one thing, you have the undercity, the underground city of Edinburgh, sort of the underground ruins, and you can go through the underground ruins, and that is just fascinating. These are old buildings from the Middle Ages that are still there, preserved underground, and there are some sections of the city that you can actually go down into. Very, very cool. You have the ghost tours. Now, obviously, I don't believe in ghosts. I think the whole notion of ghosts is kind of silly. But there are these ghost tours. Now, I have to say, they're not expensive. They're cheesy as hell. But they're fun at the same time. There's a lot of entertainment value to be had from the ghost tours. We took a couple of them when my best friend and I were in Edinburgh. I didn't do it on my own, you know, before I traveled there with Paul. I actually went there with Paul, and we took a couple of these ghost tours, and we went on this one called the Auld Reekie Tour, Auld Reekie being an old nickname for Edinburgh. And it was very entertaining, you know, it was in a very cheesy kind of way. So you definitely want to maybe check one of these things out. There's the big whiskey museum there. A lot of good whiskey stores, a lot of good pubs. Again, you know, the Royal Mile nowadays is a lot of shops and restaurants and cafes. It's really kind of hard to point out ones that are particularly good. I will say, though, that there is a very good Italian restaurant at Edinburgh, and one that I feel strongly enough about that I'll point it out on the show. And this is a place called Mama's, and it's in the Grass Market part of, you know, it's a little square called Grass Market, which is on the, I think at the east, west side of the castle. And they serve up, it's like pizza and, you know, it's pasta and sort of your stereotypical American Italian food, maybe. But we loved it there, and we went there, I think, a couple times while we were staying in Edinburgh, and a very good value. And there's also some other pubs and student cafes and things down in that area. There's a lot going on down there, a lot of kind of this funky, artsy little cafes and things. Also in that same area is the George the Fourth Bridge, and you can kind of wander down the George across the George the Fourth Bridge, which is kind of another little little valley that this bridge goes across. It's kind of like a highway bridge. And right along the George the Fourth Bridge is the Elephant Cafe. Now, the Elephant Cafe is where J.R. Rowling started writing her Harry Potter books. And it's a little coffee bar. I don't know if it's still there, to be honest, but it was there last time I was in Edinburgh. And it was really kind of nice little cafe. And it's really interesting because my first visit to Edinburgh, I spent a fair amount of time in that cafe. And I could have been there at the same time as J.R. Rowling writing her book. So it could have been, you know, who knows. But also right down on the other side of that cafe, you have Greyfriars Churchyard. Now, considering that me being an atheist, I go into a lot of churches and spend a lot of time looking at ecclesiastical buildings and so forth. I do love architecture, and I love stained glass, and I love the idea of these old buildings, and I enjoy the cemeteries. Greyfriars Churchyard is one of the most interesting cemeteries I've ever been in. Unfortunately, a lot of it is falling into decay now, but it does have some really fantastic funerary art. You have all these skulls and crossbones all over everything. I heard some idiot American tourist say, "Whoa, there sure are a lot of pirates buried here," because the skull and crossbone motif is so pervasive there. And of course, if you go to Greyfriars Churchyard, you can't forget to go visit Greyfriars Bobby. Greyfriars Bobby is probably the silliest, most over sentimental story about this little dog who refused to leave his master's grave. And Disney even did a movie about it. But you have to go visit Greyfriars Bobby, make the pilgrimage, and that is what to do over there. Now, the other thing right in that same area that's well worth seeing would be the Royal Museum of Scotland. Beautiful, beautiful archaeology museum. Has archaeology pieces from all over Scotland. It is a fantastic, high-tech, modern facility. I was very impressed by the displays. Sometimes it seemed like the displays were a little overly, overly high-tech when you're showing a rock. You know, you're showing flint tools and you have this beautiful plexiglass sculpture that you're keeping these things. Overall, just absolutely beautiful building and very well displayed artifacts. Definitely can't speak highly enough of the collection that they have there. You find good selection of stuff throughout Scottish history there. It's not just like all Stone Age stuff. Though when Paul and I go to any museum, we end up looking at all the Stone Age stuff because of his interest in that. And I just, yeah, very, very impressed by the Royal Museum of Scotland. And also you have the Scottish Parliament over there. It's kind of a neat area of town that I think a lot of tourists avoid. Now, before I go on, yes, I am kind of rapidly running out of time, so I need to talk just a little bit, kind of skipping ahead here, to talk about kind of a trip down the Royal Mile. So from the Edinburgh Castle, you kind of head down Edinburgh Castle, and you have the World of Whiskey on one side of the street on your left. You have the big tartan woolen mill. You have a lot of these sort of touristy sorts of things. And as you kind of walk down, eventually you'll come to St. Giles Cathedral on your right. And this is where you pick up a lot of the ghost tours. You pick up a lot of the, if you're doing a walking tour, that's a lot where a lot of them meet. It's kind of a good central point along the Royal Mile. You have this very nice walk, that kind of, you can go down the back way if you want to, but I actually like walking right down the Royal Mile. It is a pedestrian street. There are no cars, so you don't have to worry about, getting run over or anything. And it's kind of a nice walk, and especially when the weather is nice. Now, one time you want to avoid Edinburgh is August. And the reason why you want to avoid Edinburgh in August is because that's when the Edinburgh Festival is playing. Now, unless you are actually going to the Edinburgh Festival, I would definitely not even try to go to Edinburgh at that time of year, because I tell you, accommodation is impossible. You'll end up staying in Glasgow rather than staying in Edinburgh, because you can't find any accommodation for miles around during the festival. If you're into the Fringe Festival and into the festival, this together they go on for a month. So definitely, if you want to be there as a casual tourist, you want to not go to Edinburgh in August. Just be aware of that. But eventually, you kind of wind your way down the Royal Mile. You pass the house where John Calvin lived, the famous Calvinist preacher. There's a lot of historical sites. There's a lot of things. It's probably really things I'm not even remembering to mention. But on the opposite side of the Royal Mile, you have the sort of exquisite Holyrood House. And just beyond that, you see a mountain. Now, yes, this is another one of those extinct volcanoes. And it's a beautiful park set up around this hill. Now, the hill is called Arthur's Seat. And Arthur's Seat has, of course, this mythological connection with King Arthur. Why in Scotland? I have no idea. Don't even ask. Everywhere in England has some connection to King Arthur. Whether it's a real connection or not. But if you like the outdoors and you like having a nice little hike, this Arthur's Seat, beautiful. It takes a couple of hours to do. You go up this hill, kind of around it. It's like a big looping road that goes kind of in a circle, but the circle will take you halfway. Half the circle will take you to the top of Arthur's Seat, and the other half of the circle takes you down Arthur's Seat, if you know what I'm saying. You don't end up crossing your same trail. And it is almost like an oval up and down this mountain. Definitely one of the highlights of Edinburgh. You get fantastic views of the Royal Mile. Excuse me. Fantastic views of the Royal Mile. Looking up, and if you have a nice day. Now, the thing about Scotland, though, folks, you can never predict the weather. Even if it's sunny in the morning, it may turn really, really lousy a little later in the day. So definitely, if it's sunny, seize the moment. Seize the moment. Do your outdoor stuff. do the Calton Hill, or do Arthur's Seat, and wait when it starts raining. Then you can go into the woolen mill. Then you can go into the whiskey stores, and there's a bunch of lovely whiskey stores. Incidentally, one of the best whiskey bars I've ever been into is in Edinburgh, on Coburn Street. Now, Coburn Street's the sort of S-shaped street that goes from Waverley train station up to the Royal Mile, and it's sort of an S-shaped street. And on this street, there's a number of interesting things. There's the Malt Shovel Bar, which is it's my favorite whiskey bar in Edinburgh. Beautiful, dark wood, traditional sort of Scottish pub. Just fantastic atmosphere. a little expensive on the whiskey side, folks. I do apologize for that. But, you know, it is Edinburgh. So anywhere you go is going to be more expensive. That's sort of the, you know, any city in the UK is going to be more expensive than going to a little town, you know, somewhere on the outskirts. And yeah, it looks like I am running out of time, so I do have to wrap it up. Anyway, yeah, so you also have, there's a little shop that sells jack and potatoes. Love that little shop. One of the youth hostels in Edinburgh is up on Coburn Street. And basically, that's the way you get from the train station up to the Royal Mile. So definitely check that out, too. All right. Well, I do have to wrap it up now. Sorry about that. I know that it could have been better organized, but I was trying to get to everything. Bob is saying, don't pay to see the military tattoo. You can watch it on the telly instead. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. Suko says, time flies when you're having fun. She's asking, have you ever been to the Gay Village in Manchester? No, I haven't. I haven't spent a lot of time in Manchester. And how about Provincetown, Massachusetts? I've never been to Provincetown either. Yeah, Fire Island, Provincetown, that doesn't really appeal to me that much. Maybe someday, though. Maybe someday. You never know. Anyway, going to wrap it up now. Thanks very much for listening, folks. Stay tuned. Sunday's shows, you have Suko, you have Stacy, and you have Paul. So, see you next week. This is Tom Harris in beautiful Chicago, Illinois, signing off. See you next time.